for one last time in 2023. It is me and you. And just me and you. This is weird. I'm used to doing this show, especially this show with the guy that I spent most of 2023 doing the entirety of the show, one Pat Oney, but sadly, he's not here. But it's the end of the year. I guess virtually he'll be here because some of his predictions are going to come onto the show, and I guess we'll discuss them amongst ourselves. But with that being said, I'm Andrew Coppins, and this, well, this is Critical Thinking. So yes, it is me, myself, and I coming to you with the final show of 2023, putting a bow on it, wrapping it up, putting it under the tree. We're going to take a look backwards at the predictions made by both Pat and myself. And then I'm going to discuss the top three stories of 2023. I hope everybody is ready to recap 2023. All right, so the first of the stories here, if you
wait
are,
a minute, well, wait a minute,
whoa,
wait a minute,
whoa,
wait a minute, just wait a minute.
What is going on? What is that voice?
It's your favorite elf on a shelf.
Well, it's, oh, why, hello. Look at how fatherhood has treated you. Mr. Yeah, Pat well, Oney, live and direct. He graced us with his presence one final time. What do you know? I don't have to do this one solo. I'm so very thankful for that.
Aren't you? Aren't you? You're just
I don't know.
Thankful for me. You're, again, your favorite elf on a shelf. Put me up there and you take me down when you need me.
Did you not listen to the Elf on the Shelf episode this week?
Oh, I totally did.
God almighty. Anyway, with that being said, we've got a lot to get into. We are going to discuss our predictions, our top stories of 2023. Pat is with us because it's only right. You were with us at the beginning of the year, Pat, and you made predictions. I made predictions. Some of which, all right. Others, what the hell? So we're going to start just like we did with the predictions with Pat in the world of sports. Pat, are you ready for this prediction that you made?
I'm scared because I really don't remember what my predictions were. So I'm scared to know what this is.
All right. Well, from the world of sports, Pat thought this was going to happen in 2023.
And I'm going to let you go first with your first prediction for this year.
Do you want politics, culture, or sports first?
Good question. Very good question. How about sports?
Sports. Then I'm going to do this. Purdue will be the first Big Ten team to win an NCAA basketball championship in 22 years. And this is the men's team, by the way. Well, that one crapped the bed. If I ever saw
now,
one.
Now, Pat, Wes, do you think that that was bad? I've got one worse because I made a prediction about a Big Ten team making a run in the postseason. Although this Big Ten team did make a run in the postseason, just not the postseason we thought it would be.
I like this pick, but I also think you need to watch out for Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament.
Ouch.
Yeah, I think we both laid an egg on that one.
Now, to be fair to myself, this prediction was made pre Tyler Wahl going down. This, you know, this was made pre one of the biggest Wisconsin Badger glue pieces going down for, what was it, 3.5 weeks and then just not really being the same the rest of the season. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace, but they did make a Final Four. It was just the NIT Final Four.
True, true.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, but UConn, not in the Big Ten, right?
No.
Florida Atlantic, Big Ten team?
No.
How about San Diego State?
No. Mm. Definitely not.
Wait. Miami of Florida?
Still no.
So what you're telling me is we were skunked out of the Final Four.
Yeah.
Also skunked out of the Elite Eight.
Yeah. In fact, if memory serves right, Purdue lost the first round.
Yes. Yes, they did. They did. And then memory serving us also correctly here, Pat. Michigan State was the only Big Ten representative in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the Big Ten really crapped the bed in last year's tournament. I'm really hoping Purdue will turn that, because Purdue is probably the best team in college basketball right now. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping they make that, redeem me on that prediction this year.
Did they beat Arizona?
Yes, they did.
Okay, because I didn't see the game. So I had a lot of other things going on, so I didn't get a chance to watch that. Also, with the way that my Badgers got crushed at Arizona by them. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Anyway, so that was a dud.
Yeah.
Like, an epic dud. Yeah. So maybe we stay away from the Big Ten winning the NCAA tournament.
Maybe that, because they can't. I mean, every time they even remotely get close, they still crap the bed.
Yeah, it's now a 23 season drought, by the way. Mm-hmm. Ironically, the last standing Big Ten team last year in the NCAA tournament was the last team to win the NCAA tournament, Michigan State, out of the
Michigan
Big
State.
Ten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the year 2000, beating my Wisconsin Badgers to get to the national championship game, by the way. Can you imagine that? Two Big Ten teams making the Final Four in the same year?
Didn't Ohio State, no, it was an Elite Eight. It was Ohio State and Michigan State that made the Elite Eight one year.
Yep,
it was the Elite Eight when they did that.
Yep. All right. With that being said, it is time for one of my predictions. And this one, I think you'll go, oh, yeah.
All right. So this is one that everybody is talking about in 2023 coming our way. A big market crash in the housing sector. We're going to see prices come tumbling down, tumble, 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 tumble. And we're going to see a massive housing issue.
Mm.
No, it's not. Not going to happen.
So that was mentioned in the world of real estate. And Pat, as a layman, your thoughts on the housing market of 2023?
I don't know that they came tumbling down.
No, in fact, they continued to appreciate.
Yeah.
Just at a little bit of a slower rate than the insanity that was the years 2021 and 2022.
I will say, I mean, I do notice houses, or at least around my area, are on the market a lot longer, and that's due to pricing and interest rates, but there are still houses going on the market.
Yes, yes. There's not a massive crash. In fact, there's a couple of really good Substacks to follow in real estate data, and I'll put them up on At the Coppin Show, by the way, on X. But the new housing starts in November of this year were at almost 1.5 million, which is a 250 or 300,000 more housing starts in the month of November than they thought were going to happen. That's good news. That means that is a positive trend. Also, it's about 12% higher than it was last year at that time. Also good news. That means there's strength in the housing market, not just in terms of current inventory, but people building and developing all across this country. So that's good news. We didn't see the crash. We really didn't. People who wanted to buy houses bought houses. People who wanted to sell houses sold houses. It may have taken a little bit longer, but it didn't really affect price all that often, especially in areas of the country that have still hot real estate markets. In fact, if you were a seller, it likely was actually an advantageous place to be. Now, if you were a seller needing to buy on the backside of that, that might have been a problem. But again, inventory was not so tight that you couldn't do anything with it, which is, I think, all the predictions of massive price drops and all of this stuff. Now, that's especially not the case here in Chicago, but as I noted at the beginning of last year, here in Chicago, it's unique because we didn't see the 30, 40, 50% gains in housing prices. We might have seen a 12, 14%, and now we're seeing 3 to 5% gains. You know, so there's a difference. You're not going to be able to watch, you know, buy a house and then 3 years later put it on the market for $100,000 more and get it. That's not going to happen. But that's just a real market, right, Pat? That's not a – we're not seeing 2008. We're not seeing any sort of real crash in the market. In fact, it's significantly rebounded from the massive downturn that happened when we saw interest rates starting to go from the 3 to 5% and then again 5 to 7 to 8%. We saw a couple of dips, but we're back beyond where those dips were when you take a look at graphing and stats. So that prediction, I think we got right.
I would agree. I would agree.
Now, Pat, we're on to one of your predictions here. And this comes in the world of culture and climate change.
Culture. Okay. Climate change, not COVID, not trans culture, will be, or the economy, will be the cultural focus of 2023.
Given that story on 60 Minutes, yeah, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I will say it this way. Because they're going to attempt to tie it to all of those other things. Like, we already know about their attempt to tie it to the economy, right? Right. What we are not seeing yet is that link between trans and this and far left academia in the climate change movement.
Right.
We're going to see that as part of the equation. And we're going to see that climate change as actually, they're going to attempt to link it to disease and all this other stuff, including COVID, right? Because of the change in our climate, we're disrupting our immune systems and blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I'm not going to say that climate change won't be connected to things like COVID and stuff, as you mentioned. That's not where I'm going with this. However.
Oh, sure. It'll be the thing that is on the top shelf.
Right. And the reason why I'm saying that is because now that you have a slight majority in the House, I don't see anything of like LGBTQ mm-hmm. or LMNOP or trans stuff becoming like codified law per se. In terms of that side of things, it could happen because there's enough woke rhino type Republican legislatures that would do it, but I think it's more likely that you're going to see climate change.
How do you feel about that prediction?
I don't feel good about it. I really don't. I would actually give myself 0-2 in this case, because the climate change issue just didn't play out the way I thought it would. Were there things about climate change throughout the year? Yeah, but I don't see how that necessarily fit to where I was going with it. By the way, I wanted to point this little tidbit out because I tend to notice these things. I'm wearing the exact same shirt when I made these predictions. And I did not plan this, by the way. I did not plan this at all.
Yes, I will say that because Pat didn't bother to do any research on today's episode at all to look back and find the episode and see his predictions. But no, I agree with you that this was a semi-miss. I'll give you half. I'll give you half a credit because we did see this be a – I think internationally this might have been a bigger cultural story than the trans and all the stuff, because I think you and I would probably agree that the trans story is the big cultural story of 2023.
Yeah, that ended up being bigger than I thought it was going to be.
I mean, it's still percolating now where we've got the recent Netflix kids show in which they somehow have a character, he's supposed to be like 2 or 3 or whatever, dressing up as a girl dancing in front of his gay parents.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Why? Like that's the ultimate question I have with a lot of this is like, why? What is the necessity of that? What is the utility of seeing that or showing that?
There isn't.
Exactly. Even if you want to say, but it's showing gay culture. Oh, so you're just teaching gay. Yeah. I thought it was something that you're inherently born as or as not. So why are you shoving your culture down the throat of your son?
Great question.
But internationally, I think that this story of climate change is bigger. And here's why. Take a look at all of the eco-terrorist crap that happened in Europe, right? With blocking of the roads and smearing of painting with tomato soup or whatever, right? And then on the flip side of this, take a look at what happened in France and the Netherlands, right? Take a look at what the Dutch farmers were doing in protestation of them having land and stuff confiscated, right? Take a look at the French farmers literally spreading manure all over the parliamentary building in France as a protest to what they were attempting to do a la the Netherlands. I think it's a big story. I would put it in my top three, but it is not the overarching story, at least here in America. I think culturally it is that story, and I think by and large, by the way, it's been a repudiation of it that has been the story. All right, the Riley Gaines of the world and watching people try to defend crazy positions. Like I'm thinking of the Michael Knowles sit-down interview where pregnant person? You mean a woman?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, you know, all the things that went down throughout the summer, right? Girls having to protect girls in sports. Even just a few weeks ago, right, where we had Riley Gaines and one of the best female athletes of the early, you know, Title IX era standing in or sitting in front of Congress saying, "Aw, hell no." So I think that's been one of the more dominant stories. Plus, you know, we've got the trans day of remembrance for the however many, 99.9% of them were killed due to their drug use, prostitution. Weird. So weird. Oh, wait, no. Totally predictable from the very get-go. It has nothing to do with them being trans. It has everything to do with them doing terrible things for your health. Anyway, what say you?
Side note really quick here. While I understand Taylor Swift was the Time Person of the Year, and I understand why. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand why, because she's a pretty good reflection of our current culture. However, if I could have a say in the Time Person of the Year, it would have been Riley Gaines.
Yeah, I would have put her up there, but they never would have. I agree, though. I think you could make a say. Yeah, and I think you could make an argument that Taylor Swift is probably the biggest cultural story of 2023, period.
True.
Her raking in money hand over fist on all of those tour stops and then deciding to release a movie that all these dupes decided to go see in the theaters, right? And then on top of that, release it on Amazon Prime for $19.89 to rent. And you know who, my wife didn't go to the Eras Tour stop here in Chicago, but you know who went and saw it in the theater and then bought it because of three unreleased songs for 19 $89 to rent on Amazon Prime.
Your wife. Your wife's a Swiftie, huh?
Apparently. That's been news to me. But yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you can make that argument that that's the biggest cultural story of 2023, but I would say the trans stuff is there.
I absolutely would agree with that assessment by far. That's why I think Taylor Swift would be the Time Person of the Year is because of all of that.
Yeah. Oh, and then let's not forget that she took over the NFL.
Yeah. I'm sorry what she did. What happened to your Packers, by the way? Wait, didn't your Packers win that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Say, I'm pretty sure I enjoyed the hell out of that. What the hell are you talking about?
I was thinking it was backwards for a minute. I was like, wait a minute. They won that game.
Nope. And then we've decided to make Tommy DeVito and what's his nuts last week? Oh, Baker Mayfield into the best quarterbacks of all time in back-to-back weeks. Fire Joe Barry, hashtag. I'm not bitter about, potentially losing a shot at the playoffs, and who the hell knows what would have happened had we gotten in, but... I mean, we still have hope. It's just 31% hope instead of 71% hope. Thanks, Joe Barry. And injuries. Anywho. There are still a couple of more predictions that we had that we need to go through. And this one involves Florida.
My second prediction is that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in his grand jury that's being impaneled will bring us closest to justice for the lies of the COVID era.
120%, because who else is doing anything like it? And furthermore, who else has the stones to do anything like it?
So I agree with you, but here's the thing, right? We know right now that there's two people that are sucking up the oxygen in the potential GOP race, right? That's Donald Trump and that's Ron DeSantis.
Correct.
You want to help suck some oxygen out of that room, right? You go this route.
That's a miss for me.
I mean, the grand jury is still there. It just, nothing's happened
until the end of the year.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We're here at the end of December. Ron DeSantis is running for president of the United States of America. If they thought that there is anything to come of this process so far, there might have been charges. Now, we also we don't know. They've done a really good job of keeping all of it under wraps, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing a lot of leaks. We're not seeing a lot of stuff. Could it be that by the end of all of it, we end up with a bombshell, we end up with a game-changing moment, politically expedient, of course, for Ron DeSantis, possibly. But as of right now, there's nothing. They've got nothing. And what does that tell us is a bigger question going into 2024, one that I'll probably explore in the program. But, yeah, I think that was a big miss. What say you?
Yeah, that was a pretty big miss, frankly, because nothing, at least to our knowledge, there hasn't been any like breaking story on this. Nothing's really happened. And if nothing happens, I question the same thing. What does that mean for 2024? What does that mean potentially for Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign? And are we actually ever, in any shape or form, ever going to get justice over what happened with the COVID tyranny? I don't know. It just... We need more information, and right now we're not getting that info. So,
yeah, so big miss. All right, we got two more to go here. I'm going to go with your last prediction, Pat.
Your final prediction.
My final prediction is Putin admits defeat in Ukraine. I think, and here's the thing, I actually think you're going to disagree with me on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly disagree. So I want to hear your reasoning for this.
Well, I want to hear why you disagree with it first.
Because Putin never is going to admit to a defeat in an aggressive war. You just won't.
I should clarify. I don't think that he will be like, oh, we lost in Ukraine. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think there will be some symbolic move that says they're done in Ukraine.
On that final note, Pat, your thoughts?
Strike out. Ouch. I started laughing a little bit when I'm like, oh, that was my prediction. What in the hell was I thinking? That is a huge miss. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I mean, we just keep giving money to Zelensky over there, and Putin keeps doing whatever Putin is doing. Mm-hmm. And is going to keep doing whatever he's doing at this point. And we're apparently going to keep giving money to Zelensky all the way up to potentially sending troops over there. So,
yeah, that's been the latest development, right?
Really wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either send the money or send the troops. F you. That's what I say to you, not you, Pat, but to those who are trying to give us that false choice. That's an absolute false choice. Mm-hmm. Because we still don't have to send the troops.
We don't have to do anything.
Nope. Anywho, big swing and a miss there, and I was right. No.
Yes, you were. You were right. I was wrong. I fully admit it.
Okay. I wish my wife could do that once in a while, but anyway. I'm kidding, in case she's in earshot of this. I'm kidding, dear.
Oh, you have to say that now because she's in your shit.
But this is my final prediction from the very first episode of 2023.
Because we know that Team GOP is going to do nothing, which brings me to my third and final prediction, Pat. The GOP will effectively be a dead party by the end of this year. Because they will do nothing with the power that they were given.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In Congress. They will do nothing with it. I would argue they're sort of a dead party anyway, but the reality is like 80 million people, right, went out and voted Team GOP over the last 2 years, right?
They're already kind of a dead party. And
no, I mean officially dead. Like,
right. But we've seen this happen before where they get the power and do nothing with it. I don't think that this is a far off prediction. I think that this is going to happen even before the end of the year.
So it's like this, Pat, right? You're at the bar or you're at the restaurant, right? And you're picking up a tab, right? You're the person that's picked up that tab over and over and over again with the promise of the other party going to pay you back for picking it up.
Right.
How many times do you do that before you stop picking it up after they've never paid you back? Once, twice, three, four, five? How many times? How many times? People are at their wits' end with the GOP. People are at their wits' end with Ditch. Right. And if there's a failure to right the ship, there's a failure to hold some accountability for Fauci and his ilk. The Hunter Biden situation, right? The Biden crime family, as we like to mention it. All of these things, if they don't do anything of substance, if they don't even change the fundamentals that exist inside Congress that have kind of poisoned the well, if they don't even do that. People are done. There's just going to be done. And what happens from there?
I'm going to go 50% on this one.
Why 50%?
Because what did I caveat this on? What I said early on was that they're going to be dead as a party if they don't do anything with the power that was actually given to them in the 2022 election. Uh-huh. Right? Because they got the House back. As we head to 2024, is there any inkling that Donald Trump is a winning candidate for Team GOP? Is there any inkling that Ron DeSantis is a likely winner of the GOP primary? Is there any inkling that Team GOP has a plan in place for lawfare forever? It's a mess. It's dead. Lest we also forget the how many votes to get Kevin McCarthy to become Speaker of the House in January. Lest we forget the ouster of Kevin McCarthy some, 10 months later? 9 months later? Lest we then forget the how many votes and how many candidates to get us to Mike, I love the Bible Johnson, except for I'm not willing to do the biblical thing. And I immediately stab Team GOP's base right in the back.
So you didn't answer my question, though, because this, to me, this is justifying 100% correct, not 50%.
Well, because it's not technically dead. Like the other part of this was I'm talking about full stop, not in existence. And
oh,
I
see what you mean.
I think it's going to take more than this. I think it's going to end up taking a loss in massive proportions in 2024.
I mean, I could totally see that happening, too. That's the thing. Yeah. Totally see
that. Well, that's for the prediction episode. Mm-hmm. That having been said, they did nothing. Shocker. Did absolutely nothing with the power given to them.
I mean, damn. I mean, how many times have we been saying that already? Like they're not going to do anything. They need to bring receipts if they want any confidence going into the next election. They haven't brought any receipts. They've brought nothing on Hunter Biden. They've had the whole speaker.
Well, that's not true.
Well, that's okay. Not true. They haven't done.
They've already started the impeachment inquiry. Process has already started.
Well, I mean, okay.
What else are you supposed to do?
I guess Hunter Biden didn't show up, so that's true. So,
well, he there's that. Right, but it's the same thing that Steve Bannon refused to do, right?
Right.
Unless you forget about that at the last impeachment inquiry of the next to last impeachment inquiry of Donald Trump, where he claimed presidential immunity, right? Mm-hmm. Where he claimed executive privilege or whatever have you. And Steve Bannon just wouldn't do it. And what did he do? He served 4 months in jail and paid like a $4,000 fine. He served federal prison time.
Last I checked, Hunter Biden's not in jail.
Yet. Steve Bannon, it took 2 or 3 years for him to go to jail.
Hmm.
That all being said, they've processed contempt charges, right? Or attempted to. Will the DOJ do it? My suggestion there would be you have to show impartiality. You've got to listen to Congress when they say this is what we asked in this subpoena. This was a legitimate subpoena, and they just ignored it. That being said, the further of the situations is that it's not Hunter Biden, it's Joe Biden. They've started the impeachment inquiry. They've got all sorts of physical evidence and forensic evidence. That's the thing that bothers me the most about the left in this situation. They just willfully ignore bank records, pay stubs, verified WhatsApp messages, text messages, phone calls, emails. That's not evidence to them. Then what is?
It is evidence to them if it's not their own guy.
Right. I know that this is partisan whatever, but like, come on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the people who still say that O.J. Simpson was not guilty. technically, yes, in a court of law, he was found not guilty. But for real? For real, y'all?
Let me ask you this, though. Do you feel like Congress is taking their sweet, sweet time with all of this?
They have to. They have to do it right. They can't rush it.
I understand they do it right, but there's a difference between doing it right and also taking a million years to get it done.
I get where you're going, but they put the evidence together. They did the hard work. You can't just start an impeachment. You can't do what the Democrats did.
I agree with you on that 100%.
You can't just start an impeachment inquiry for shits and giggles and then find the evidence later.
I just feel like this has been an eternity, considering they claim that they've had this evidence for how long now?
They've only been working on this for less than a year. That's what people don't realize.
They didn't get power in investigative ways
and means and all of those other committee chairmanships until February.
So I guess that's my point. When you compare what happened to Donald Trump, they did it the wrong way. You know, they just went right to it with really nothing. And then
they started that investigation in 2017 and 2018 and 2019 and in 2020. It was 3 years of it. It was a never ending. The second that they were impaneled, the second that their committees were meeting, that was what they were doing. They were using the Steele dossier and the investigation of the FBI and all that stuff from the very get-go. And it took them forever to impeach. It took them forever to go through that process. That's the thing that people don't realize about the time frame of all of that.
I just feel like the Trump impeachment went way faster than what this is doing. But I'm wrong. So I'm totally willing to admit that too.
The process from inquiry to founding of charges, yes. But you also have to realize that they did it differently. They did it in a way in which they just dragged them in front of one committee, one giant committee, right? Whereas we had three different committees because there were three different aspects to all of this, right? So I just think people need to realize that not every good thing is going to come quickly and not every thing that comes quickly is good. I'm just going to leave that there. I just think we have to realize that they have a limited window. They've basically got till March for me to get this impeachment going, put into the Senate, and they're not going to convict. We know that. We absolutely know that. But it would behoove them to do this by March. Or wait until after the conventions, because when are the American people going to pay attention to them? And that's the thing, because what the argument that I can see the Mitt Romneys and everybody else making on the impeachment side of things is, okay, you charged him. Let's let the people convict him. And if the people want to convict him, they can. I think that's the argument that side will make when you get like the 10 GOP senators that will split off and vote to not convict. Except for that's not your job. Your job is to take a look at the charges that are in front of you and did he or did he not do it?
Right, yeah.
And if this is real, if this is the real pieces of evidence and the case laid out in front of you, come what may, when it comes to the politics of elections, If it were to have come this year, would you still hold that same position? If so, you're doing it wrong. If not, then you're the one playing politics with all of this. It'll be interesting. But with that being said, Pat, I thought we would also take a little bit of time here to take a look at the three biggest stories of the year. And I have three of them. I don't know if you've come up with three or you just agree with the three that I have.
I'll probably end up agreeing with what you have anyway.
Okay. So first off, I want to give some honorable mentions here. Things that were very close but didn't actually make my top three. The production of net positive fusion energy for the very first time. And for those who don't know what this is nuclear fission, right? Fission energy. Basically, it's the same as what the sun produces for us, okay? And if we can produce this as a net positive, meaning we are actually producing energy out of this, this changes the entire climate change, you know, whatever narrative. It absolutely does. It's a massive story that is likely to play itself out over the next 5-10 years and change the game, because no more nuclear waste, which is one of the considerations of nuclear energy. No more waste of solar wind farms and rare earth metals on a massive scale. Suddenly, we're able to just produce energy by itself on its own with very little help. That's massive. It's a game changer. Other honorable mentions, xenotransplants, Pat. I don't know if you know what this one was, but we talked about this. This is scientists deciding to harvest human organs in other organisms, mainly like pigs and other people.
I remember this.
Yep. That's a massive story, because what the hell?
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. If you are even considering going down this road as a scientist, go straight to hell. Because you're already there, by the way. And then finally, on the honorable mentions, the allegations of the United States having UFOs, knowingly having UFOs in their midst, and the UFO stories that have come out in 2023, including, by the way, non-human organisms, microbiology, if you will.
We're also we're referring to the balloon stories, right?
No, we're not even referring to that, which was a big enough story. But I'm referring to the stories of the fact that there were people who went in front of Congress and said, yeah, we've made contact. We've got the ships, right? We've got the technology in front of us that we've been trying to reverse engineer. And, oh, by the way, also we have the microbiology of non-human organisms.
Show me the bodies.
You think that's really going to happen, Pat?
No, I don't. But
but it's a big story, so it's honorable mention for me, okay? Because that's also a game changer for a lot of things in life. Mm-hmm. But in reverse order of importance, 3-2-1, artificial intelligence. It's one of the biggest stories of 2023, the explosion of ChatGPT and OpenAI. And I use it quite often in my business, because you know what it really helps me do? Not have to think of and write up captions for social media or emails. I don't have to worry about templating emails out. I can simply just ask our AI tool. Yes, Compass has an AI tool that we can use. It's fantastic in some respects, but it's arguably, I would say, the second or third biggest cultural thing of 2023. Artificial intelligence, and also the fact that now, this past week here, we have stories that artificial intelligence is now producing artificial intelligence, meaning it's producing other versions of itself. That's a problem, Bob.
If only there were a movie about this, iRobot, Terminator, something along those lines that would have warned us about this years ago. But, you know, I digress.
Number two on my list, Pat. Trans everything. It was unavoidable story of 2023 for me. Whether you don't want to talk about defending girls in girls' sports or women in women's sports, whether you want to talk about the Bud Light controversy,
Dylan Mulvaney's Christmas song.
Right, or the weird White House Christmas video.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you want to talk about Netflix allowing the transing of a 2-year-old fictional character, or, you know, transing all schools, or the trans shooting up of a Christian school in Nashville, and then not allowing the manifesto to be released except for it leaked out anyway. It was just everything around that and the insanity, drag queen story hours and all age drag shows and all that, whatever, right? And then number one on my list is the Hamas attack on October 7th on Israel. There's nothing bigger. It's the biggest story of the year because it's an absolute game changer from every perspective. Military, economics, politics, academia, freedom of speech, everywhere. It has touched every part of the globe. Really, it really has. It was sick. It was disgusting. It was terrible. That attack was awful. But it's the biggest story of the year by far, in my view.
I would agree. I would agree that that's the biggest story of the year. I would also agree about the whole transing, the trans issues, the tranny madness and all that stuff. I think that that's certainly in there. I think we're missing one, though. And that is the indictments of Donald Trump. And what's been going on with that? I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's an unprecedented event. We haven't had a former president ever be indicted like this in the history of our country, that at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think that could have easily have made the honorable mention list or on this list. I don't disagree.
I think for me, that's going to be number three over the AI, though. I think AI would be an honorable mention for me versus the Trump stuff.
No, fair enough. And I don't disagree with you in terms of its importance, but I also think we all saw it. For me, why it's not on that list for myself is just simply because I saw it all coming. And maybe that's the jaded, I pay attention side of things.
True, yeah.
But, just take a look at what's been going on the last couple of weeks, right, with the entire Jack Smith situation and Donald Trump, Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's going to save us in Colorado, right? And I talked about that earlier this week on the program, but at the end of the day, I think the bigger story in the Donald Trump sphere is the cult.
Oh, Trump. Yeah.
I think that's the bigger story. But I would agree with you that it belongs somewhere. If I had a top five, it would be in the top five. You are correct, and thank you for bringing that to our attention. But, your thoughts more broadly on what's been going on since you've been gone in regards to that Trump situation.
Well, maybe it's fatherhood that's changed me a little bit here. I see 2024 a little bit differently than I think prior to fatherhood, or maybe it's just amplified. I don't know, but I'm seeing 2024 as a must win for America, for our liberty. That's how I see 2024. And when I look at what's going on with all the respective candidates, there's only really one guy out there that's really proven on any of these issues so far, and that's Ron DeSantis. I'm not endorsing him or anything like that. I have my issues with DeSantis. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to Donald Trump, every time I get on X or on really any social media and there's something going on with Trump, there's always someone in there that's saying something along the lines, we just have to support him. Doesn't matter what happens, we just have to support him. And then like Mike Lee the other day on Twitter was like, well this isn't going to stand in Colorado. It's unconstitutional. I'm like, what if it does stand, Mike? What if it does? Have you ever considered that they don't care? They don't care.
Yeah, what's the Constitution to the left?
Yeah, it's not like, here's the thing. As long as they can delay things,
I take that's that a back. Win for them too. I take that back. So, what's the Constitution to the left if they can't use it as a weapon?
But then I honestly get the response of, well, God is on Trump's side, and God and Trump is appointed by God, and everything is going to work out, and blah 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 blah.
Oh my God, I got to find that.
If you freaking believe this crap, if you believe this, I have beachfront property in North Dakota to sell you, guys. I get why people support Donald Trump. I do. I get it. I get what's going on in Colorado is wrong. I get what's going on with Donald Trump in general is generally wrong. I believe the election was stolen. We've said the election was stolen from him. It's just not stolen in the way that most people think it was stolen. I'm with you on all of these things. He should be the president right now. I get it. But are we so far gone that our hubris has taken over, saying, well, because he should have won, we have to vote for him in 2024. We can't consider someone who actually might be better than Donald Trump. The hubris of it all. I'm like, are we really going to rely on Trump's lawyers to win him an election? Because not only do they have to get him acquitted, they've got to get him on the, make sure he's on the ballot in all 50 states, because Colorado's not going to be the last to do this. Not to mention getting elected, making sure people actually vote for him, and those votes are properly counted, and also in key states that he must win. So you are relying on all of this. I mean, that's not one miracle, folks. That's several. That's at least three. But could it happen? Sure.
But it's
not likely, guys. Come on.
As long as we support him, no matter what, the Lord will take care of the rest. Because Trump was told by God to abandon his affluent and peaceful lifestyle to save our country from the global reset of the evil globalists. He is the best the Lord could find to fight for us all.
Are you reading that one from X the other day that I said?
Yes, I am. Yeah. But for those of you who have been paying attention to the show more broadly and earlier this week, in fact, WTF Wednesday this week, I played a Right Side Broadcasting Network piece where they interviewed a Trump supporter in Corvale, Iowa. Trump is doing God's work.
Trump. I heard that one. Yeah.
Just no.
I don't believe God is involved with any of these candidates.
No.
Per se.
Yeah.
I'm not saying God hasn't been involved with kings and politicians before, because, you know, biblically we can take a look at that and we can see that, right? I don't think that's what's happening here. I think if we're going to make the argument that, you know, God's been involved in American politics, I think you got to go back a ways. Because we have fundamentally abandoned God as a culture. So why would God be involved in our politics and in our culture right now? Answer me that.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, so I think those are the big stories, right? We got the Trump story, AI. You've got trans everything, the Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th, and who knows where that's going to go here down the road. But, man. With that being said, all I can say is this. Take some time the rest of this year. You've got Christmas coming up. You've got New Year's Eve and New Year's Day coming up. January 2nd, Pat and I will be back. Spoiler alert. And Pat, you'll only be back for one time.
Possibly. Yes, possibly.
Yes.
I'll be in and out, of course, but yes.
Yes. But we have our 2024 prediction extravaganza for you as we come back in the new year. So Pat and I will work on coordinating times if we can. If not, then it'll be me, myself, and I, and maybe I'll try to find a special guest. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But there will be two of us on a prediction extravaganza. And we will be back January 2nd. Until then, though, folks, Pat, you have any final thoughts?
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And I want to win. I really want to win. But I don't want to just win for me. I want to win for the country, and I want to win for my son, because I want a better future for all of us, not just me.
Yes. Enjoy your first Christmas as a dad, Pat. I'm sure it'll be memorable.
It will be.
But beyond that, please be smart. Please be safe. Please be kind. Make sure you eat all of your meals and then some over the course of this holiday season. And until 2024, Matthew 5:47.